Hey, good morning, Donna. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Did you
Jay's
do
here and
okay?
Kelly's here with me.
Oh, Jay is also?
Yep.
Okay, good, good. How did your day go yesterday? Okay.
Oh, just great. I left here at 6 o'clock last night.
Oh, what?
Well,
Oh my.
Catherine had to fix that retirement with the bonuses, and that took
Okay.
up a lot of time.
Good.
Yeah,
So,
I saw what you had to send to NH Retirement, that whole, explanation. So, oh boy. Well, now we
Oh,
know. Now we know.
I didn't see anything about it.
Oh, I have to hear back from the
Retirement board.
retirement board. So we're recorded, so we didn't call anything. So
All right, do we have Paula yet?
not calling yet. No.
We'll just give her a minute.
Well, Paul, see you attached.
I'll let you catch that, Donna.
Takes a minute, so they have to be out there, I guess.
Okay.
Were any of those non-public sealed?
No, they were not. And we can discuss that when we open the meeting, but we can actually, if we want to have the meeting Thursday, we'll carry that over to Thursday. There's no rush.
Okay.
Is
She's
she
not on yet.
not yet? Okay. Just giving Paula another minute.
Might as well open it up. Move on.
All right, I'll call the meeting to order at 9:01. And I'm going to ask for an approval of the agenda. I'll make the motion to approve the agenda. Hi, Paula. And
Good.
do I have a second to the approval of the agenda?
I'll second that.
Okay, we're approving the agenda for today, Paula.
Yep, I'm fine.
And
I'll vote aye.
okay, any further discussion on the agenda? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to jump to the administration. We have the Reinhart Tank project that we usually talk about at this time, but Brad Jones will not be calling in. We have some outstanding disbursements. I believe the letter from Dawson is still outstanding.
Still outstanding, yeah.
And
And I had a long conversation with Rick Skorenka last Wednesday,
yep.
and the disbursements, the first two were correct because it was only contractors filing, but the third one had pre-construction and miscellaneous,
Yep.
the paving, and the disbursement form has to be filled out properly, which it was not.
Okay.
I need Jones and Beach to break down the whole project, pre-construction, administration contracts, contractors, contracts, and miscellaneous, with the project totals, and then we have to figure out what goes to where.
Right.
So I need, which I've been reaching out to
Saw that, yeah.
Brad Jones, and I got an email yesterday, well, over the weekend, I guess, that he would touch base with me yesterday. Yesterday, he never reached out until late when I did ask him to call into the meeting, which he already had a meeting scheduled. So hopefully after the meeting, I can give him a call and get this taken care of because we can't pay his bills that are outstanding
Right.
because there's no money in the water project account.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, the details in some of these questions as to why these late pre-construction bills are coming in now is just, it's got me questioning the whole process. But no, thank you for the diligence.
Yeah, I spent the whole day on It's either Tuesday or Wednesday, recreating the way that Rick explained it to me,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know the what was went to what, which that would be the engineer's due diligence. He should have
yeah.
been doing it all along.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
And the other, well, and the other thing too, you know, just for the record, is when Donna finally called Rick, he said, "Oh yeah, yeah, I forgot. Not I forgot. I knew that it wasn't filled out correctly, and it sat on his desk for 7 weeks. So there's enough, you know,
yeah.
blame I think to go around that Rick sat on this thing knowing that the itemization of those bills was incorrect. So,
okay.
So now we're going back, you know, 2 months trying to recreate what we thought was already all resolved."
Yeah.
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 Okay.
It's not about whether or not they're going to pay these bills, but they're very specific on how they categorize the invoice, and then they're looking at percentage of completion for the projects and stuff that, you know, was never the responsibility of the district. It was always going to be the engineers that did that. So I feel
right.
bad that Donna had
right.
spent so much of her time trying to assist.
But now
in
I
getting,
know how to fill out state disbursements.
Well, there you go. So anyway, that's still, you know, unresolved, unfortunately, and hopefully within the next couple of days we can get that in so that we can get our funds from the state.
Yeah.
And the only other thing, and I don't know if you have to decide, some of those things have gone over the contract number 6, and you was discussing moving the items around.
We can't do that. Jones and Beach has to reassign those invoices to a different contract because they're the ones that have to keep track of them.
I don't know if
so.
You can do that or not, but I don't. I know we already overspent contract number 6.
Unbeknownst.
Yeah, $2,000. Just under 200.
Yeah.
Just under $2,000. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So everybody knows. Go ahead,
Jay.
Kathy.
No, go ahead.
Okay. So just so everybody knows, you know, in looking at some of the other invoices that came in recently, we got one from Dawson's, the contractor, for the installation of those two culverts that we had talked about in early July, which we certainly would never have paid that amount of money, and that's exactly the amount that came in. Of course, we were told that since the work was now completed, we knew more what the actual hours were going to be spent, and of course, they actually used our pipes that were in our depot to install, and so that price never changed. It was never addressed. A lot of things that we've been talking about and asking about have just, unfortunately, because of the loss of Chris on this project and then Jones and Beach trying to pick up where he left off, I think there was a lot of communications that just didn't get passed forward. So we need to keep on those things and address them. But to be paying $14,000 for installation of two simple culverts, I bet Kelly wish he was in a different business.
Every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyhow.
Wait, have we paid that yet? We didn't pay it yet.
No, I didn't get a bill for that yet. Yeah, if you look in, remember the ones that I signed outside, but I told you do not submit them because one of those was for the those two culverts.
So why did you sign them?
So I signed it in case we had an explanation, and I didn't want to hold up. But we don't have any explanations, and so therefore it's not going through. We need to negotiate that. We also have kept a tally of how many water main breaks there have been, right, because of the construction project, and all the costs that Ian's has associated with those. And that cost was going to be deducted from any charges that Dawson had.
I don't have a $14,000 bill.
I think it was the contract.
I saw that as well, but I didn't know if that was just the original estimate or if that was actually an invoice from Dawson. I think it was that original estimate, and as you said, the price didn't change, so it might have been
just
the original.
Yeah. I never bought a $14,000 bill.
Do you know, do you have the ones that I signed outside of the mailbox? There's a whole packet of them.
Yeah.
We don't have to look at it because we're not going to resolve it today.
Okay.
Right.
But I just wanted to bring up, I forgot to say at the beginning, is I have a hard stop at 11 a.m. And I also want to jump very quickly at the end to non-public to discuss an employment matter.
Okay. All right.
Okay. And the other thing is we always still have the option. Anything we don't finish here today, and I'm thinking we already – there's one thing that we already can't do unless we hear from Bob Ingram. We might have to have that Thursday meeting. It'll be a short one, but might be best to obviously invite Bob because we really need his – he's the moderator, so he's the game caller on the annual meeting.
Did he attend that Wednesday NHMA seminar?
They're going to be scheduled. It's in January.
Or is it February? I think it's February 5th, which I thought was
late. I thought it was this past Wednesday. I'm sorry. I thought it was this past Wednesday.
No, I think we had a sign up this past Wednesday, but the meeting itself or the seminar is, I believe, February 5th.
Okay. All right. Correct. All right. No, but I read that two-page.
Yeah. We have Kelly Robitel here, and he's falling asleep.
February 6th. I'm sorry.
February 6th.
Yeah.
Okay. So to keep him awake, we'll give him the microphone so we can start singing.
All right, we got past Christmas. That was interesting. I wanted to, on behalf of Jeff and Tony and myself, thank the commissioners for that very generous Christmas card. That meant a lot to the three of us. You don't know how much it meant. And Merry Christmas to the three of you.
Thank you.
I just got a couple things today. I ordered some sand. I told them to bring $2,000 worth of sand. That's 10 truckloads. Just because I know we have the money for it. We have a lot of money for it. Before we get any heavy snow that's going to not allow us to get it, I thought it was a good idea. We've got half of it so far. If the commission doesn't think it's a good idea, I can stop it, but... we have room for it.
You do have room?
Oh,
but
yeah.
Do you think, how long do you think that will last, or will it become a sand pile over the summer and start to grow trees?
Over the winter, we chunk into it and we spread it out, it thaws out. We use it. There might be some left, but that much is typically what we have at the end of the year. So.
All right. I'll ask the other two commissioners, what do you think? Do you think we should go for the full $2,000 worth, 10 loads?
Well, we've already got 1,000 of it, so an additional 1,000 isn't going to have any major impact. And we need it. It's not like it's ever going to go to waste. So I agree with Kelly.
Yeah. Because keep in mind, the bill that we are going to sign off on today for the outfitting of the new Dodge, $29,000. So that actually goes against our current year operating budget. Yes.
No. Back up. That goes against the warrant article.
Yeah.
Right. I know that, but we can't take any money from the warrant articles because the trustees are pretty much done for the year until next year, right?
The trustees was only taking money out of a capital reserve fund. So we've already gotten $108,000 from the bank for the truck.
So we already pulled the full 108. Well, I know we got 108 from the bond, but did we pull them? Is it in a trust fund right now?
No.
Okay.
No.
So where's that money sitting?
We got the proceeds from the bank, and that went into the operating budget. Is that correct, Donna? We got the 108,000 from the bank. Okay.
Yep.
So it doesn't affect our cash flow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, so that's good, because the next question I was going to ask was, what was the total cost of the outfitting and the truck together, and was there any leftover money that went in, basically?
There should be quite a bit of leftover money.
Yeah. And that was, so this is interesting. So, if we don't do anything, if we don't encumber the funds, because there's no reason to, then that simply goes back into the unassigned fund balance.
So, it went where it was going anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
And I would make sure that.
Can we put it against the principal from the loan that we took? Can't we pay off part of the loan?
Because I agree with Paula. We just need to reach out to someone to clarify that, because the bank has said, look, we gave you $108,000. We don't see the value yet because the truck was certainly less than that, and when we add the outfitting onto it, I mean, they're collateralizing the loan against the value of the truck, so they want to see the full $108,000 value.
Right.
So we may end up applying it to the principal.
Yeah.
The difference. So if there's, you know, $15,000 or $8,000 left in that warrant article that we didn't need the whole $108,000, I think that we would need to apply it to the loan.
Yeah.
There's about $7,000 left. We spent $101,002.56.
Okay. So there's $7,000 left. Okay.
Isn't that a question?
That would be a great question for Catherine.
What about the treasurer? Shouldn't she know
that?
She should know that and give us advice on how to best utilize that money, which may in fact be to pay down any principal with that amount.
Okay.
That's significant. No, she's not on.
Can you ask her to make sure she attends on Thursday at 9 o'clock? Let's get this resolved then.
Okay. All right.
Let her know, and Donna, and let her know why. Say we've got $7,000 against a truck that has not been used, and we may have to pay it against the principal. We may not have a choice. So she can look into that.
All right. So good thing you brought it up, Kelly.
All right, lastly, I've been calling heating companies to get an estimate for downstairs. Everybody's either straight up busy or home on the sick couch. I finally got through to Federal Piping, who has done work in here. They're the only ones returning a call. They're going to give me an estimate, but it's probably going to be 2 weeks because he's actually in quarantine right now, so he won't be out of his house for 10 days.
I got to tell you, I wouldn't go anywhere near Federal Piping.
I wouldn't
work with them. They have the worst reputation in North Conway. No way. No, you can get an estimate from them, but no way, no how. I'm sorry.
Kelly,
how do you really feel?
My thought process is at least getting a number. I can use it for that. I think they can do that right. But we used to have heating contractors that work for the district, but they've all gone south on us.
All
Federal
right.
was the only one that would answer the phone, so we used them a few times, and I completely agree. But just to get that number so we have something to go for.
No, we need a number for the
budget.
Corner.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking at.
So,
what about some independent guys? Do we have to use a company per se? Like, I mean, there's a lot of good local furnace guys.
I tried two larger ones, local. They're both straight out, can't touch anything till summertime. For multiple reasons, mostly because they have no help, because all the help is home. But they can't tell me that they can get me a number by then. I'm trying to get a number, and then we can hire whoever we want.
What about, across the lake for me? The people live locally. Well, I'm having a blank.
Yeah, I know who you're talking
about. Grayson Merrill?
Yeah.
You know
Grayson
what I'm talking
Merrill?
About? Yeah, Grayson Merrill. We could ask if he could look at it or his company. I don't know. Maybe we already called them, but...
Jay, can I interrupt, please?
Kathy's got a question. Go ahead, Kathy.
All right. So Christmas Eve day, my furnace went in the house. Dan Whitelaw showed up at 6 p.m. Whatever he did, he showed up Monday morning with John Herto and got it, the old one out and the new one in 5 hours. So I know we've used him before and he seemed a little pricey, but... he absolutely responds.
Yeah, I've heard good.
And he's done work in the district before. He did the heating system in DW, the DPW 2 building. So, at least, like you said, at least he can give us a price. And he's familiar with the furnace down there in DPW 1.
Yeah. So as we were bringing up these independent contractors, I kept my mouth shut because I've used one of them that was mentioned just previous to that one. And so because it reflects it's a conflict of interest if I basically sway decisions
you can just recommend that we call somebody. I mean we're going to get it
number
of bids.
Yeah,
I don't think that's
I won't make the calls. It'll be up to Kelly, but I think Kelly, there's a lot of independents.
I can send you
can
another one too. I'll send you the one I use. I mean, I'll send that to the district, a local guy I use. there's lots of local contractors. I don't know, you know, who you called, but I'm sure there are a lot of people at Six. But I think there's, I have a whole list of them. I mean, I don't know if you've called any of them. I'd be happy
we have no, you know, connection to these people, and we're not profiting from it. So
except for one, I carry that you don't use. But other than that,
Good morning, Dinah.
Dinah is on.
Morning. Sorry, I have a Tuesday morning commitment, but now I'm here.
Okay.
Your ears must have been burning.
Uh-oh. What are you saying?
No, we were saying we want you to call in on Thursday for a question that we have, so we can ask you now.
Maybe you can answer it now. So let me just go back to Kelly because he's got the floor and the microphone. So if you want to just reach out to independent contractors, that'd be fine as well. You may actually get better response. I know it's a lot of work, but you need to get a number.
I like the one that Kathy suggested. I don't know him, but I've heard great things about him.
Yeah.
So,
but try to get
for the district before.
Yeah, try to get at least two prices. Okay, so Kelly, I know you still have the microphone. What else you got?
Do we
have something here on 47 Idlewise Drive, 4749?
I don't know what the confusion is. It still seems like they want me to do all the work to get this driveway permit. Everyone's seen a driveway permit. It's very basic. It's very simple. Why they can't fill one out and present it, I don't get. I'm not going to fill it out for them. This is getting way more complicated than it needs to get. I don't understand what they're looking for.
Yeah, so let me read the email from the attorney of this homeowner at 49 Idlewise Drive.
47 or 49?
47.
47 or
47? 47. The homeowner submitted a driveway permit on 11/29/20. That's November 29th. It looks like your input will be needed to complete the application and have the permit issued. Please let me know if there's a time next week when you are available for a phone call. This is the attorney wanting to call and talk with Kelly. So I guess my question to the Board of Commissioners is if Kelly sees no reason to help with filling out the application, I guess the office should probably be the point of contact, obviously. And I guess, as we had asked or talked about this previous, we should probably ask the applicant, what is it that you want help with?
And I did. I reached out with an email to the attorney to ask him what it was, and he never responded back.
Yeah. Could you, just as far as communication, say that we talked about this at today's commissioner's meeting and that we've authorized you to reach out again and asking specifically what portion of the application do they need help with.
Back when we talked about this last, we did volunteer to be helpful with this. I did volunteer to look at the permit that was submitted and make sure everything was okay. I can't give them recommendations on how to do their driveway. I can give them recommendations on what it's going to take to protect our road. But I'm not going to tell them their driveway needs to be this or that or this. That's up to them. I don't care about what they do with their driveway. So I don't want to – I'd rather not get involved with, especially with an attorney saying, well, you should do this and you should do that, because then if the water goes the wrong way on their property, it's –
then it's
my
on you.
They should submit a permit. I should look at it and say, this is what we need at the road, which I do with every permit. So the permit
and you've already,
is so basic.
And you've already done, and you've done that. And I thought, Kelly, didn't you already do that for this project, for that driveway?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Just recommending that they pitch the driveway off to one side.
Pitch the driveway and put a driveway grade.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's nothing more you can add to the permit.
No, what I told them was that when it comes to it, if the contractor that's going to do the job has any questions for me, I can tell them what I'm looking for. But I'm not going to tell them how to do their driving.
Okay.
All right. What else do you got, Kelly? Anything good? That's it? Wow.
That's it.
So,
I love it.
Just have them in.
Yeah, just ask specifically what input are they looking for, because the office may be able to help, or we may have to actually decline because we don't design people's private driveways for them.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give recommendations on the finished driveway application.
Okay. Yep. All right, we'll swing over to Dinah. Thank you very much, Dinah, for calling in. So a question came up today.
You're welcome.
A question came up today in regards to the new Dodge 5500 truck. So we borrowed $108,000 in a bond on last year's warrant article, but we've only spent $101,002.56, that leaving about $7,000+. And the question is, do we want to use that money to pay down principal on this loan? Did I lose you, Dinah?
Dinah?
I just was swallowing my coffee, sorry.
You got to filter out the grinds. You got to filter the grinds out.
So, are we sure that everything has been paid for the truck? Because Kelly put in an estimate that came up to the 108 or 110, whatever it was.
I saved a bunch of money.
Well, Dinah, I think originally the estimate was like was around 100, and I believe, Dinah, you suggested adding some additional funds so that if we needed snow tires, chains, and
plows,
miscellaneous things, that we would build that into the warrant.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you don't need more money for the truck.
Right. It's all built. There's nothing more that we need. Do we have all the lights and backup whistles and all that good stuff? Everything's there?
Yes. Well, that's in this week's manifest.
Okay.
And I got the 22 that we owed for the half of the truck.
Yeah.
And then it was 74,000 and change for the outfitting.
Yeah.
The upgrades.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how much is that all together?
29,757.02.
Okay, so you need to charge that to the warrant article.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you already have. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess we haven't even made a payment on the loan yet, so I guess we could.
My question was, legally, if we don't use all of the $108,000 for the truck, I'm assuming that we have to apply that to the principal. We can't let that money lapse into the unassigned fund.
Yes, I agree with that.
So maybe,
okay.
I don't know if we ought to reach out to the bank, reach out to someone who would know the legalities of what to do with that excess money.
Could you, Dinah, try to find that out, and we do have another meeting on Thursday so that we could answer that on Thursday and make a decision as to apply that amount to the principal, if we can do that.
Well, I can call the bank and tell them what we're going to do.
All right, because the bank, I remember, reached out to us saying they wanted to see the invoices that totaled up to the 108, because they wanted to be assured that their $108,000 was secured by $100,008 asset.
Right, and that's where Kelly came in with his estimate, and they were fine with that. So, I'll call him and have an answer Thursday. Let me see, what am I doing Thursday? Not much. Okay, I can have an answer for you by Thursday.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you. Go ahead, Dinah.
The only thing that's sort of hanging. Oh, do you want me to talk or not?
Yeah, go ahead.
The only thing that's sort of a hanging detail from this year is the $15,000 we took out of the operating account to pay for Bryant, and we put it in the project account.
Kelly can probably explain that, but there was $37,000 of paving that was done as a result of overlaying the waterline installation. And while Bryant was there was an additional $15,000 worth of work, which is strictly district road maintenance on the rest of that road. It wasn't because of the water project. So it was kind of, you know, even though Bryant paving did one fell swoop up there, it was broken up into two sections.
Right.
Right, I remember that.
The 17,000 that we took out of our paving budget. I understand that. But we still couldn't pay Bryant the total amount without the $15,000 from our operating account because we have not gotten any distributions from the state.
Okay. I did not know that.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
But that's a cash flow. That's a cash flow issue, not necessarily a budget. You know, it's not reflected in the operating budget.
Well, it's it's reflected in our operating account. So, I want the minutes to make sure that this is recorded. I just want to make sure when the auditors come knocking and wondering why we did that you guys have an explanation.
Okay.
That was transferred on November 23rd.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So on 11/23, was $15,000, Donna?
Yes. 16? No, it was 15. 15. We had to in order to have enough money in the water project account.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we had the money for the paving for the 16. I cut two checks, one from the water project and one from the operating budget for the paving.
Yep.
Okay. And that was and we needed that to complete the $37,000, which was for the water main overlay.
Yeah,
okay.
Paving. Okay. Yeah. And that was, we were counting on the disbursements, which we're still working on.
Right.
Okay. All right. Got it.
Did you, Kelly, did you want to comment at all on Aspen, the third section over the Christmas Day?
You can't help but get me started.
I know. I light a fire under you.
No, it's everything we've already heard. There was there was not enough gravel on the road, and when I drove up there Christmas, it was muck. It was mud. It's going to be a springtime nightmare. But I've already been through all this. I'm not pleased with the way the road portion of the project went. Everyone knows that. So I got to go up and deal with the ruts that are in the road somehow, but we've already talked about it.
Yep.
There's no going back. I'm just going to have to deal with it now. There's just no gravel on that road.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody that was wondering on that Christmas Day rainstorm and snow melt at the same time.
Yeah.
Huge amount of water, but that Bergdorf culvert, the size of that culvert makes it look like a trickle was coming through.
Yeah, it worked well.
Yeah.
The whole district performed well.
The roads are all firm except for that one up on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, that's all you have?
All I have.
Good.
Fire away.
All right. I'll jump over to Donna for administrative report.
All right. Let's see. We got a letter from the Department of Labor that the case is no longer open. It's closed. I'm putting it in the file.
Okay.
We got something from the DRA that they want to monitor. The DRA monitor may visit our property to verify the physical data listed on the property record card collected by the assessor. So somebody may be showing up.
Wow. Okay.
Just want to let you know.
And that was, I think it said 100 Oak Ridge. So I think that they're looking at the lodge. That's the property that got selected.
That's correct.
Okay. But they're just basically verifying that the dimensions of the property are what's on the tax assessor's card.
Yeah.
I got that too. I think a variety of houses got that.
Yep.
Variety of properties.
Okay.
I got one of those too. Okay.
I didn't. I typed up the ad for the paper for the annual meeting. I just need verification in order to file it when it's time to file. For the budget hearing meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we need to decide how we're going to handle that meeting.
Yeah.
And if we're going to use Microsoft Teams, I know Andrew was able to work with Donna and set that up, and I've kind of logged into it as well.
Actually, he worked with Lynn, so I was doing the disbursement thing that day, so I wasn't able to.
I was hoping Andrew might be. If Andrew was going to be around that day of the meeting, that he could actually, you know, be the host of it and manage the attendees, and if anybody had trouble logging in order to view the screen, the individuals will have to download the Microsoft Teams web browser. So if we want to put together a PowerPoint and have a display in order for the people to be, you know, looking at what we're looking at when we go through the budget and the warrant articles, they'll have to have a web browser, I actually call it a web viewer, that they'll have to download, just like Zoom or any other virtual meeting app, in order to view what we're looking at the same time. So,
yeah.
And when I talked to Andrew about it briefly, we may want to do a mock meeting and maybe pick, you know, maybe the three of us, the commissioners, maybe Donna, maybe somebody who hasn't downloaded the app at all, and maybe pick two or three people in the district and just see what the ease of the process is to log in for the first time and, you know, put a couple of slides up there to see how that all works in conjunction with each other so we're not running into all kinds of technical problems.
Yeah, we could, I was just thinking, we could also physically use the school gymnasium as long as we don't have more than 46 people attend the budget hearings.
If the 47 one person shows up, they cancel it. So
the end of your meeting.
It never happened.
Not on a budget hearing. If you get 9, you had a good night.
Yeah.
Okay.
So do we want to plan for a non-virtual meeting then? For the budget hearing?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of working parts. If we do want to have a physical budget hearing and then a virtual annual meeting.
Right.
I don't know if everybody had read that document that I sent out from the NHMA yesterday.
I did.
But it is quite convoluted, and the town of Madison right now is, as far as they're concerned, they're going to just go forward with what they've always done because they looked at it and said, oh my gosh.
I know.
Really?
You got to do a mailing and have two meetings and drive-through voting and drive-through warrant article voting and two separate ballots. It would be a challenge.
That's not for a hearing. That's not for a hearing. That's for the actual town meeting, right?
Well, if we decide...
The hearing is different. Yeah. The hearing can be
hearing
done virtually as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't read through it. I can tell you right now, I will not attend a meeting in person anywhere. I don't care if it's in the gym and there's 5 people there. I won't be there. So,
okay. And you can call in. I mean, that's certainly acceptable. And I'll be calling in also. So, unfortunately, Jay's going to have to be the lightning rod.
Well, it's up to him. I mean, if he'll do it. I mean, as I said, he can do it. But then you're also asking everybody else to call, to show up.
They can call in. They'll be able to call in. We can print out copies of the packets. They can pick them up at the office in the mailbox. So that they can follow along in the printed version.
You have all these. If you have 10 people spread out in the gym and you have people calling in on the phone, what kind of microphone system are you going to use that we're all going to be able to hear everybody in the gym? How far away?
Have you ever gone to town meeting?
Yeah.
Madison town meeting. Yeah. So they have a speaker system. It could be heard by everybody. So I attended a Zoom meeting.
Okay.
That was also, and they were able to hear me. I was able to hear them, even though they were 25 feet away from the microphone. So it's pretty good system.
All right.
Yeah.
So Jay, if you did the actual budget hearing, people are allowed to show up just like we did our commissioners meeting. They can attend physically, or they can listen. We wouldn't do any kind of a Microsoft team meeting for that.
Yes, you
have to do some type of virtual.
Some type of virtual, which is also the audio that we're talking through now could be used. That's correct.
Right. We could continue. We could do this type of a meeting, just like we have Kelly and you and Donna in the office, and then anybody else that wants to attend could either be there physically or they could call in. We'll all be we can print out ahead of time the packet of information, so they wouldn't have to physically go there to get it. They can get it the week before. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. We'll talk about it on Thursday.
Now, do you want to have a PowerPoint created so at least we have something to print, even though we may not be physically presenting it up on a screen?
Yeah, we probably should have, obviously, all the warrants ready, as well as the budget, as we normally do every year. those Excel spreadsheets.
I can do that. I mean, I don't mind doing PowerPoint stuff at all. So, you know, if we've got some numbers, once we get the numbers together for the warrants, I mean, I can get the template and all the information typed up, and then we can just go in and plug in the details as we get them between now and the 27th. Yep, okay.
All right.
I'll put the PowerPoint together.
Yeah, everybody just reread that guidance that came from the NHMA based on House Bill 1129. There's a lot of moving parts to it, and to Paula's point where she does not want to attend the meeting physically, I don't disagree with that at all. But if we do go virtual, look at the amount of work necessary, and if you think we can get it done. I did call Town Hall yesterday asking permission to use their voting booth, not the new ones that we saw at the November elections, but the old ones that we've always gone into, the aluminum ones with the shower curtain. They said yes. Those are going to have to be sanitized after each person walks into that. We have to have a person willing to do that. And a lot of other moving parts. So there's the process itself, and then there's the COVID-19 regulations of sanitation and separation. So keep those in mind when you read that over again, okay? All right, I'll go back to Donna.
Okay, moving on. The template for the notice of lien letter I need approval of.
Your template?
Yep, I sent it out.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yep.
Is that like a standard form that they...
Yep.
Okay.
All right. And we have the correct RSA number that applies to utility bills?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I would say...
make a motion.
Go ahead, Jay. Sorry.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we go ahead and approve this form to go out to those who are in arrears of late payments on the water bill over $1,000. Do I have a second to the motion?
I'll second that.
Okay. For discussion purposes, Don, off the top of your head, do you know how many individuals we're talking about? Was it six?
Six, I think.
Six, okay. Paul, you have any questions or concerns?
Nope.
Okay, I'll call the motion to vote. All in favor, say aye. Aye?
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. Okay. On that same subject matter, we also, you know, were given guidance by our attorney a while back concerning this matter, and turning off the water to these six homes is also another option, and it's right in our ordinance. And there is no snow on the ground right now, which would mean that Ian Hayes, our water operator, would have no problem finding the curb stop valves. Do we want to reach out to him and say, Ian, give us a date as to when you can turn these water systems, these houses off.
I'm guessing that most of them are already off.
I was just going to say, I know at least two are definitely off.
Yeah. But the others are getting free water, basically, at the expense of the other water users.
Okay. I do think in the sense of fairness, that we should send a certified letter to those other, maybe confer with Ian and confirm which ones are still, people are living there and water is available, obviously, if they're living there, and say that, you know, on February 15th, the water will be shut off or whatever date we choose. I think we should give them a date certain so that they have an opportunity, one more opportunity to pay their bill.
Okay.
There's no surprises. Yeah.
All right. Do you want to turn that into a motion, Kathy?
Yes. I'll make a motion to communicate with all six of the property owners that the water will be shut off and will have a certain date from Ian unless payment is received in full.
Okay. Yeah, we're actually eligible to turn the water off at any time now.
Yes, we are.
We'll give them the letter 2 to 4 weeks notice, just so they know.
Yeah. I would put a specific date in there. Now, February, we may be under 3 feet of snow, but if not, we at least have given them one more opportunity to get their water bill paid.
Yep. Okay.
Because the utility does the same thing. Okay.
Yeah, any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Who seconds it?
Apologies.
I'll second it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you did already.
No, but I will. Maybe
okay.
I did.
Okay.
And I'll vote yes.
Okay, I vote yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, the last thing that I have is that Catherine, I worked with Catherine. We did get the New Hampshire retirement straightened out. I have an email into them. So that's good. And she sent in a payroll services proposal that you all received. She said that she would be saving the district a lot of money.
Was she going to be filing the quarterlies for us, or was there another service that would be doing that?
No, it's something that she can do or work with me to do.
Okay, so we would be physically doing them ourselves then, meaning, QuickBooks, because QuickBooks does them automatically. So all the withholdings are held.
Yeah, but we're paying for them to do it.
Correct.
And it's well over $1,000 that we pay.
A year?
Yeah. And she has a call into the Bank of New Hampshire for the direct deposit she's trying to get them to see, because of being a municipality, if they wouldn't charge a fee. But we pay... we pay a good little chunk of money for them to process our direct deposit.
Through QuickBooks.
The bank or
QuickBooks? No, QuickBooks.
QuickBooks.
So, it would save the district money. And that's, that's something she can do.
I'm a little less versed on this. So she's saying she'll do all the payroll instead of having QuickBooks do it.
No, we would process it like QuickBooks, but we wouldn't send it into it.
You send it to her.
We would send it to her, or the checks would be processed here. Is my understanding.
Okay. So here's my question, and I'm going to pretend to be him, and I expect my paycheck to come in every, Thursday? Deposited to your...
Friday.
Fridays?
Mm-hmm.
And if today, I'm assuming that if the individual at the end of QuickBooks or Intuit goes sick because of COVID-19, there's a person right behind him or her to back them up, and it's seamless. We don't see that. But I guess my question is, with Catherine possibly being a one-person show, if something were to happen to her, does he get his check on Friday?
Yes, because that's the agreement.
I would assume
I will double-check with Catherine, but she's signing a contract.
Right.
She's guaranteeing it.
I guess the diligence is, what do they have to guarantee their services should the individual that we're dealing with becomes incapacitated?
I agree with you, Jay, because if it is a one person operation.
Can you just ask her the question and let's talk about it on Thursday? Let's come back on Thursday and decide.
Yep.
All right.
Good idea.
All right.
I mean, she says by the 28th, but I think we got to get an answer on that.
Well, that's yesterday.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
All right. All right.
What else you got?
That's it. It's been, we got everything. We have the minutes. I don't know if you want to add the new minutes the Paula just sent in.
We can hold the new minutes off till Thursday as well.
Okay.
But these minutes that were for today, we can actually knock these off in the next 10 minutes so that we have the public, the person that wants to talk, call in. So I'll ask and make a motion. Let's see, I want to get them on order here. Okay. That we approve, I'll make the motion that we approve the minutes of Thursday, December the 10th. Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Okay. Do we have any amendments or questions?
Those were the revised ones, if that's the revised.
Yep.
I believe.
Yeah, you're right. They are.
So did these add the thing that I just want to look at the very end. Hold on.
Yeah, the very
end.
You put yours up at the very bottom.
Yep, I got it. I'm
yes,
good.
You did. Yep. Okay, I'll make, the motion's been made.
Yep.
Seconded. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. So December 10th is approved. Now.
So, Donna, if you send those to me, because Lynn is not going to be in, I'll get those posted to the website.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We have the minutes of Thursday, December the 17th. I'll make the motion that we approve these minutes. Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Okay. Any other amendments or discussion questions regarding these minutes? Hearing none, all in favor of December the 17th, say aye. Aye.
Aye. Well, aye.
Okay.
Okay.
Good to go. Where did I see those? There they are.
All right.
Brad Jones, we don't know about.
Yeah.
And the estimate for the 550?
We haven't heard back. Did that?
He was here.
The gentleman showed up last Tuesday, was it? So I haven't heard back from him.
Okay.
So. Okay, we have the manifest to approve.
Yep. So we have a manifest total of 13 checks for a total of $56,495.06. And if anybody's wondering why is it so high, it's because of that $29,000 outfitting charge that shows up. Okay, so go ahead, Paula.
No, I'm fine. I was just looking through it. It looks fine to me.
Okay.
My question was, wasn't there an issue with the issue with Simply Water? You had asked why the bill was so high.
Yeah.
He said a lot of that was because of the. Right. So who?
Yeah, that was
that homeowner. Who's going to pay for that the paving at 8 Idlewise Drive?
I have a bill in the prorated water bill going out to him today.
What do you mean prorated?
For the $1,790 for the paving.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so give me that breakdown.
Of the 4,000.
No, I was... this is the water line, and the subcontracted, the additional paving cost is what he was supposed to be paying for.
Right.
The $1,790.
So $1,790 minus $8,000, so you're looking at $6,300.
No, because you have Ian's things that are coming out.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean.
So $5,353 minus the $1,790 is what's coming out of the $8,000.
So $5,353 was, if it was a gravel road, what they would have charged us, right?
No. This
total
$5,353 for the total of the water hookup.
Total, including paving?
Including paving.
Okay.
So then we subtract the $1,790 that we're billing the homeowner for.
The $5,353... You said it includes or doesn't include the paving?
It includes, but we have to bill the homeowner the $1,790.
Right. So why would the bill, was it $7,900 and something?
No, the bill was $5,353 minus $1,790. is what
we pay Ian for everything. We pay Ian in total.
Yeah, right. I know
and
that.
And then
yeah,
we're back billing. Then we back bill. We bill the homeowner for that portion
so
of
it's
it.
So $3,563 is the water hookup.
Okay. But what was the bill that was close to $8,000 for a water hookup? I remember invoice number 857 or something. And that's the one we kept asking questions about. Why is it so high?
Oh, I don't. It's 879 that I sent out in November.
Let me see. Maybe.
Were you taking the 5300? The 5300 and adding the 1790, maybe?
No, there was an email from Ian, and it shows that there was a water hookup at number 8, and it was just under $8,000.
Well, it looks like here the bill for November was $7,892. Wasn't that
yeah.
one? That's just the monthly bill. That's the monthly bill.
Yeah, that's the monthly bill.
Oh,
that's
oh.
everything included.
Okay, I thought that was number 8 Idlewise Drive.
No.
Okay.
No.
8 Idlewise was included in the December bill. The December bill was $11,000, which is a lot, but you're saying that
right.
included. So some of that money for $11,000 goes to the monthly payment. Some of it goes to will be billed to the homeowner, and some of it will go toward the hookup account. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
The $8,000. Okay.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. I got
okay.
it.
Okay. So,
okay.
Thank you, Paula.
I don't know. Do you need a second to approve the manifest?
Yeah, I want to. So, Kelly, you and Jeff bought some clothing, right?
Yes.
What was the clothing?
Their allowance.
Some sweatshirts and stuff that we're allowed to get.
Okay.
Yep.
And what's the total for the allowance?
Was it 500 for the allowance?
No, 350.
350, excuse me. That's
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The downside to it is, like, Jeff didn't get all his receipts in because over the year we buy things, but we don't collect a receipt for a shirt, a pair of pants.
Yeah.
So he'd come in under because he couldn't find enough receipts to come up for his full amount. I don't know, is it imperative that we have a receipt for the purchase? I don't know how it works with your bank, your bookkeeping, but I just feel bad that he kind of, he scrambled
You probably should have receipts because it's a municipality and we should have receipts for things. I would say that you can submit them throughout the year. You don't have to save them until the end of the year, do you?
Right.
I know it's
bookkeeping, but that's kind of how it works. I mean, either find a
place
to save them. He's just either got to find a place to hold them, or he's got to put them in when he gets them.
Yeah, Jay.
I can make
Jay.
Yeah.
Give it to him.
Jay.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Okay, so if he paid for them with a credit card, he can always go back and say, look, I spent, $35 at the Carhartt store back in February. So at least we have some record that there was a purchase made at that store for that date, even if he used his credit card. And it's sort of that summary of the charges. Because I've done that before with my work where I've lost receipts. But we do have to have something from the vendor that that purchase was actually made with an amount.
Yeah.
So even if it's a credit card thing from 6 months ago, if he can produce that, if he used a credit card, that would be acceptable.
Yep. Okay.
All right.
So, Paula,
hey,
can
I ask a question? I have one more question for the budget for this year. You know, we're reaching the end of the year. I don't know. The books have to close. We are billing this homeowner for $1,800 or roughly whatever it is. Once the bill goes out, that means it hits the books this year, right? We don't have to have the actual payment from them. Like, will it still hit this year's budget? Okay,
correct.
As long as we build them. Okay, thanks, Kathy. All right.
Just a quick question on the Coleman rental. The Coleman rental for $1,096 was a week old.
It was a number of things to get his budget.
It was probably the pump.
The pump?
I bought a high-pressure water pump that they had a good deal on. It's something we've been talking about getting since I started here.
Oh, is this so that we can use the WorldGig?
Yeah. Pipes and fill the water tank. And
okay.
He had one sitting there for a good deal, so I got that. And
drill bits and
So that can go under the tools. That should go under the tools line item versus rental equipment, even though it was through the rental office.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, tools, not supplies.
All right, so I'll change that one. Yeah. All right.
And Garside was the shoveling of the snow?
Yep, the first, the 12-18 storm, yep.
Can I ask a question about Edelweiss Drive?
Yeah.
How much did we charge $8,000 for? I thought that was clean.
Hello?
Oh, hi.
Is this Kim?
Hi, sorry. That dog running and barking all over.
Yeah.
We got someone else on the call. Kim, if you could just hang on, and that person has a question.
Yep.
But go ahead, Dinah.
We already charged back the Edelweiss Drive hookup. Was that extra money not included in that? Why are we billing the homeowner?
Because in the ordinance, the homeowner is responsible above and beyond the $8,000 for any costs related to repaving the road or any ledge that had to be removed. In this case, it was repaving Edelweiss Drive.
So that doesn't come out of the $8,000 deposit?
No, that's additional to the
$8,000. Correct.
End of question four. Thank you.
Okay. All right. If you could just hold on a second, Kim, we're just signing checks here, and we'll get to you in just a minute.
No problem.
Okay. This is Jay Buckley, by the way.
We voted for the manifest, right?
You were going to second that. You started to.
I seconded it, and I'll vote yes.
Okay.
If we're ready to vote.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay, so we got another bill from North Conway Water Precinct.
Yes.
$608 for our...
Yeah, and those, Gina, those came in yesterday, so we're going to have to charge, as one goes to 8 Edelweiss, and the other goes to 34 Interlake and their water hookups. Ian explained that North Conway Precinct is behind in their billing, so... I have the new figures that we'd have to take out also.
Right. And then, Donna, we can, if you want, you know, we can chat and I can show you how to post the invoices after the end of the year for expenses for 2020.
Beautiful.
You post them into accounts payable, and then when we pay them, we pay them in 2021, but they'll be already posted into 2020 expenses.
Okay, beautiful.
I already wrote up a cheat sheet for you. Okay.
Oh, you're muffled. All right.
Seeing as one minute past 10 o'clock, we do have a public appearance. Kim Hare is calling in to discuss, I believe, parking at the various Edelweiss beaches. Is that correct, Kim?
Yeah, there was a group of homeowners that was curious about the valuation that was added to our property this year. I think it was $19,500 per property for water usage. And I think not really the parking, but we were trying to see if there was any way we could privatize the beaches since we're paying, you know, that value has been added to our property.
Yeah, so are you familiar with the New Hampshire RSAs concerning public access to public bodies of water?
I am not.
Okay. I'll just throw out a number here. So it's RSA 271:20-A. Public access to public waters means legal passage to any of the public waters of the state by way of designated contiguous land owned or controlled by a state agency or municipality, assuring that all members of the public shall have access to and use of the public waters for recreational purposes. So we cannot bar people from walking into the ponds because the ponds are owned by the state, two big ones. and you have to allow access. So it does not mean that we have to allow parking access.
Okay.
And that's what Madison controls, is the parking lots, and that's what we can control, the parking
okay.
lots.
Okay.
Now, if you were to, I'm just going to throw this out, if you were to create a parking system whereby tagged or ticketed cars could only park in the parking lot at each of the beaches, there may be the situation where people then just decide to park in the road and then walk to the beach. Hopefully that people would normally just walk to the beach from their home anyhow, because it's a good exercise, especially if you live on one of the hills. But this has been discussed, at least that I know of in my 35 years here, multiple times. And it really comes down to the enforcement. And I know that Madison did a pretty good job this year with enforcing parking at their beaches with the town sticker. And I was just wondering, the group that you're with, do they have any other ideas as to how to manage this?
First of all, is this Jay that I'm speaking with? I'm not even sure
Jay,
who I'm speaking with.
Yeah, this is Jay Buckley. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Sorry about that. Yeah, it's a group of us, a bunch of us. We may be newer owners. I'd like to say that a lot of us have probably never attended the meetings, you know, called into any of the meetings, maybe just heard, looked at the videos and stuff online. So we're not familiar. We did hear that it was tried once before, but we didn't know that it was a continuous process that has been ongoing. Our thoughts were that we already have the dump stickers on our windows, and that was really the easiest way that everyone kind of thought that we could just monitor the parking at the beaches. I think with COVID this year, we noticed a lot more people at the beaches. I know the village was very full with renters, but we definitely noticed a lot more people at the beaches, and we had heard that there were people coming down from the Kank, from the campgrounds using the beaches. And Little P, for sure, I don't know if you guys noticed it, but we noticed that it was packed. And a lot of the beaches were left with a lot of trash. So that was one reason. Of course, the other reason why we were thinking about this is it would, you know, the valuation on our houses that they already imposed on it, we thought that maybe a private beach would, you know, be beneficial to everyone who owns in the village or rents out in the village. So
oh,
we
hey,
just
Kim?
Thought the easy...
Oh.
Yep.
I'm sorry. This is Paula Doyle. I'm one of the other commissioners.
Okay.
Cause I think you wrote a great letter, and I think, I mean, we all totally understand the issue. I mean, and one of the things, just a couple of things we talked about, just so you're aware, in our last meeting, was that I think this is a great idea. We should do something to try and limit the parking, to use the parking lots as a way to manage this. So if we did that, just so you're aware, we'd have to also figure out a way to manage parking on the street, where we might have to ban parking on the street, maybe within a certain distance of the beaches or something like that. But that does become a little problem for people that have a lot of visitors or rental properties. A lot of people do park on the street in the summer. So that's just a problem we would have to work through. We don't want people lined up on the streets, cars lined up on the streets around the beaches. Like, just you're solving one problem, you're creating another problem by trying to solve one problem. So we'd have to sort of work through that, think about that, and troubleshoot that. And that, but the only other thing we discussed, and I think people would have different opinions on it, was not to use the Madison sticker, because in Alewife, we pay extra taxes here, and a lot of that money goes to keeping our roads and our ponds, maintained. So we actually, I don't know, I felt very strongly that we can limit it to people who live in Alewife. That we use the Madison beaches because we live in Madison and we pay taxes in Madison, and we should be able to use the Madison beaches on Silver Lake. But people who live in Madison that don't live in Alewife don't pay Alewife taxes. So we don't feel, I wouldn't feel personally, I shouldn't say we, I wouldn't feel an obligation to allow Madison residents to use the Alewife beaches. The only other issue we have with the Madison sticker is that renters wouldn't have that on their car. So one of the ideas we were throwing around last week was to create some kind of Edelweiss or maybe some kind of path that would go with the house. That would be something that we could create that would be made of a durable material that couldn't be replicated. And we would issue them with numbers
visible.
To all the houses.
Easily visible by the Madison police. Even our emblem, maybe.
And it might be some kind of thing, and you would have it numbered, and we would issue them to every property owner, would get one for their house. And if your house was a rental property, you would leave it at the house. You'd leave instructions for your renters on how to use it, whether they hang it from their rearview mirror or something, or place it in their windshield. And people would come, and that's what the police would look for. And if a renter walked away with this thing, then that people could take it out of security deposit. It'd be like anything else valuable you leave in your house.
How much could it really cost to make another one? $5?
Well,
you know, if they lose it, that's the cost of having renters.
If they lose it, they would have to replace them. We charge them for a new one. $100 would be a lot of money.
Exactly.
We have to make this. This is a valuable thing. It's like having a TV in your house, it's worth money, and it's part of the. There's a level of value that goes with this. So we don't want people selling them. Like, I have a private beach, so I could take mine and sell it to somebody. We don't want people doing stuff like that. The point is that we want people to understand this is a thing of value, and that's how we would do it. So that's kind of one of the ideas we tossed around. It's going to be a lot of work to create this program and to administer it initially. But that's one thought we had, is maybe we should form a committee and get some of the folks that you're working with who could help us with this. And maybe have a committee or something to work on it. I don't know if you
think
that would be
doing
that.
I think that we could do that. Yeah, I think we could do that for sure. I think that the key to this is probably trying to keep it as simple as possible. There were, the group that was chatting about it, there were a lot of ideas getting thrown around. And I think exactly what you were saying, Paula, is, would work the best. just having maybe the person who is leading the charge or, whether whoever it is, just trying to keep it as simple as possible while listening to all the ideas, because I think that's where we could start to, this could go on forever, where I think it could be pretty easy if we issue passes and figure out the parking situation. I've never seen actually a lot of cars parked on the streets. This is our third year or fourth year in the village now. And I'm there almost all summer. In Silver Lake this year, we do have a boat, and there's always people parked on the side of the road by the ramp. But I think you had a great idea of keeping a certain no parking within a certain amount of feet of the beach, That's a really good idea, instead of limiting all of our streets to park on,
Kim, this is Kathy Kozel. I'm the third commissioner in Edelweiss. And kind of two points. One is, you were talking about the $19,000 assessment that those not living on the water got added to their property taxes. And I spoke to the assessor, and I believe, Jay, you did as well. And they were under the assumption that Edelweiss was still a private development and that those amenities were there for our use only. And the gentleman I spoke to said that, geez, they weren't aware that back in, was it 1979, when the district was private, it became a municipality. And when it became a municipality, that's when it became public. So the initial Edelweiss development was private. That's how it was built. And due to, some issues with the construction company and how to manage the whole district going forward, it made sense to reincorporate as a municipality. But that's when the legal definition of our district changed, was back in 1979. And he said to me, yes, we are now aware of that, and we are looking into the legality of that. And I'm surprised that it still stayed on our bill. I thought that they would have taken that off, since we don't have exclusive rights to those beaches because we're no longer a private resort. So I just thought
I'm looking at some houses. I'm going to look them up while we're talking. I see one right here, like on Blinden, that has a $15,000 water access. Let me see if there's other ones.
You can look at ours. I'm at 19 Jungfrau, if you want to look at ours.
Let me look really quick. Hold on.
Yeah, when I talked with the assessor, he was already aware that these beaches are, in fact, public beaches, so that the term that they use on your tax card is beach access, and they give a value to it, is really a value that's still there, whether they take away that description of beach access or and then maybe change it to paved roads or playgrounds,
right,
and
but
parks.
They don't. But they don't assess people that live across the street from Silver Lake with a Silver Lake access fee.
Well, there's
even
something
they can walk to Silver Lake.
It's called residential water access. Now, yours
right.
is very high, Kim. Yours was $36,700. It seems to vary by house how much.
Really?
But I don't. Yeah, they're all
what?
Different. I'd have to
Are
look
you sure,
up some other room.
Yeah, I thought
yeah,
they were all 19
years. Yeah. The water, because I know ours went up a lot.
right.
But I didn't think it was just the water. 19
let me look up your.
Up?
Let me look up 44. You're 44. Yeah, Jay. Yours says one. It's called 1F, residential water access. Yours is $28,700. And then view, you also have a view tax, which is
right.
because you have a view. So yeah, they're all, and then oh, here's another one. It says oh, Edelweiss/Pea Porridge, base rate $19,800.
Right. So everybody,
that's,
I thought got
yeah.
19,800 for.
I don't see that on
porridge.
Everybody's. I'm not seeing that on everybody's though. It's they all are.
Unless
you
the
won't
water.
Have it on yours. Paula.
Well, I don't have it. Yeah, but Kathy, what's yours?
Donna has
yours?
It. I have it. Jay's got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the majority
yeah,
of that I saw was the 19,800, and it was water.
Yeah, right.
Did you say mine was
36? Oh, I see it. No, that's for your residential water access. That must be because you have a water system. Everybody has that, too, and that varies depending on how much property you have. Sorry, that's something. I don't know what that is,
yeah.
but it's RES
yeah, but,
water at ACS. I think that's for having a municipal water system, probably.
Right, but the bottom line on this subject of the assessment, of course, they came out, those numbers were generated last year and were distributed this spring, and then people had a chance to comment on those numbers. If you want to try to get that $19,800 reduced from your assessment, that your taxes will go down, and you want them to come take a look at your house now and reassess it, don't do it. Your value of your home has probably gone up $50,000 to $100,000 in the past few months. You'll get taxed more if you even bring it up. I know.
I'm sorry. You're right. It's the 19,800. Everybody does have. I was looking at the
right 19,800.
Yep. It's 19,800.
That was my thought process too, because they haven't done assessments on the house in so long, and we put some work into ours. And I said, well, I'll just take this one on the chin because I'm not having them come to my house.
No, but the 19,800 isn't a site visit. It's a legal definition, basically, of our district, which is incorrect. And so if they take it off one, they've got to take it off everybody.
No, they didn't take it. So they made it, after everybody complained, there were a lot of complaints to the assessors this year, and that was one of the big complaints. They must have made a decision
down.
To leave it. They made a decision to leave it on there. So they felt that even though maybe it's because you live near the lake, it could be that. It may not be because it was a private beach thing. I mean, because I have one for having a private beach. Mine is much higher than $19,800.
But people that live across the street from Silver Lake don't get an assessment on theirs for living within walking distance of Silver Lake. So it's kind of a – anyway, that's a whole separate topic.
Well,
that's nothing. And I understand Kim's concern is really more about the actual beach parking and somehow limiting the accessibility by controlling the parking lots. And we talked about it last week, Kim.
Taxes here, though, to live here, though, also. And I think the point is that part of what we pay taxes for is to maintain those parking lots, is to maintain
the
beaches and the beach, the outhouses.
So there is
a cost. We pay for some, you know, we work with the state on the testing for the water, whether we, you know, pay for some of it or not. So there's, you know, it is our community, and I think we have every right to limit the parking at those parking lots. I mean, every other beach you go to around here has that, not just Silver Lake, but they have it. They do it in Tamworth. They do it at a lot of the towns around the public lakes. It's pretty common practice.
Kim, so the thing I was going to mention is whatever we come up with a policy and whatever plans we think we want to implement for the spring of 2021, we have to have a public hearing. We have to, you know, notice it in the paper. It's a public meeting that anybody can attend. And whatever policies we want to put into place by creating an ordinance as far as what the ticketing costs would be and how these beaches were going to be monitored, we have to do that in a public meeting. We can't just, you know, agree at a meeting like this and then implement some of those changes. So it will have to be done through a little bit of a lengthy process and present our suggestions to the public before we go ahead and do something like that.
Well, the group that I'm talking to wants the feedback, obviously, from my call. So if you guys come up with, you know, a simplified version of telling them how you think this might work, then I'm happy to feed that back to them and tell them that we'd have to have a public meeting and that the owners would have to join into that meeting. I'm assuming it'll be a call-in because I don't think COVID's going anywhere for a while. But I think they'd be happy to do that. But I do believe with this group, there's a lot of people involved in it, that if there's a simplified plan laid out ahead of time and just presenting it to them, that things will go quicker and smoother. That's just my opinion.
Do you think there are people who would be willing to help us work on it?
Like, I do.
Actually, maybe. Okay, because I think that would also, you know, we've been trying to, over the past year and a half, and I've only been on the board for a few months, but we've been trying to get volunteers to help implement some of these things, because we're limited with our, you know, our office staff. We've had some staffing in and out in the last couple of years, so it would help to have some help with this. Like the canoe rack thing, we had a citizen do the portal for the canoe rack registration. So if somebody, a couple people would be willing to step up and volunteer to help, that would be great.
Absolutely, and I really do think that the value it's creating for everybody's property, for people that rent their homes and also own their homes, just to say that we have private beaches or private parking at the beaches when they market their property, is invaluable. So I do think that there are many owners that are interested in that. Again, I think many owners, you know, like myself, were full-time somewhere else and we have full-time jobs, and so if we can make it as easy as possible to implement it, then we will get volunteers to help, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think what we're looking for, Kim, is...
And I also think... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's good. So I think that your group has already bantered around multiple ideas, and I think if you went back to them now knowing that we can't restrict access to the water, but we do have the ability to restrict access to the parking... So that's a very, you know, distinction, a very, you know, critical distinction there, that if you as a group came back with maybe three or four suggestions and then let us say, okay, you know, we like this part of this one, we like this over here, this one we can't do, this one will be a nightmare, we can then, you know, make a decision based on your input as to which of those things make sense and then maybe put together a plan to go forward for 2021. So, if especially if you have people in your group that have been in the district for a while and can sort of anticipate some of the challenges going forward. And one of those is definitely going to be people will park on the street.
So where do you think that they'll park on the street? Like, you think have you seen that happen before? Because I don't feel like I see, all right, down there near Theseus Beach, sometimes I see that parking lot get a little bit crowded. But the Little P Beach sometimes can get a little crowded and people will park, you know, like in that triangle. But I don't feel like I see a lot of cars parked on the street.
No,
what will happen is people won't have a parking pass, so they'll park on the street because they think we won't tow them off the street. They won't get a ticket if they're parked on the street. If we only restrict parking in the parking lots, they'll just go, okay, I'll just park on the street. That's the problem we want to avoid, is having people go get around our new rule.
Point, it would be non-owners, because owners and renters will have passes. So anybody who parks on the street would be somebody that we would want a ticket anyways. Is that what you mean? Like, because we would
have
no
rule for
parking.
No parking.
Right. Within a certain footage of the beach is what you said, right, Kathy? Was that you, Kathy, who said that?
Yeah,
okay.
Well, yeah.
We'd have to figure out what that is, because we also have a parking, a public parking spot right now, down by the mailboxes. People could say, well, we'll just park down by the mailboxes and we'll walk up to Little P. You'll have a lot of things we have to think about. Like, you'd be surprised all the little implications of setting up these rules. You have to sort of think through every scenario, unfortunately. Yeah. And then say, okay, what are we going to do about
it? If they did, there's not much we can do about it. But I think, in general, we're just trying to decrease the amount of people that are coming from the campgrounds or somewhere else by limiting their access. I mean, that's a pretty good haul to the beach from that parking lot up that hill if you're dragging kids and toys and crap with you to the beach. You know what I mean?
Well, I've seen people do it, so I wouldn't put it past them. I think I think we just want to make sure we're pretty well covered, and then you have to create signage. Getting this done for the summer is a lot of work. That's all we're saying. So I think I can speak for us. We all think this is a good idea to try and do, but it's not, it's going to take getting the hearing done, getting the rules all put in place, getting signage made, getting these things made, getting communication to the district, getting them issued. It's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And not that we don't want to do it. We just are going to need some help, and we're going to have to get going on it quickly. We've had this issue with just trying to get the canoe registration up and running 3 or 4 years ago. It was a lot of work. I mean, believe it or not.
What I feel like, again, I have a full-time job. A lot of the people that are interested in this do as well. And, I mean, if it's going to be a lot of red tape, I honestly don't want to, if it's a very difficult process, it doesn't sound like it should be that difficult, but it sounds like it may be, then I don't know if you will get that much support. Because people have other things that they need to manage in their lives, So
I think it's a lot of work given the resources that we have. That's what I'm saying. It is a pretty straightforward thing. My feeling is just like these things end up taking, with the current resources that the district has, I think we're not going to be able to get it done for this summer necessarily, given where we are.
I also don't think the goal should be just
in a matter of time, I know we're not going to solve all the details today, but just to throw it out, at $5, let's say, for a placard that would hang from your rearview mirror with 500 homes, that's $2,500 just to purchase one placard for each home in Idlewise. So we'd have to appropriate monies for that, and then, of course, the administration would come through the office, which would be time in itself.
No parking signs
would have
to be
erected.
Expensive.
They're about $50 a piece for a metal sign, and then the pole to erect it, and then the DPW to install it. So just keep in mind all the working pieces. But again, the idea and the problematic issue is visible. We're all seeing it. We're all talking about it. But how do we solve it? And I know we can't solve it here, but I want to make sure that the guys get paid this week, because that's the next thing on the list here is to sign their paychecks. Kim, if you could go off and talk to your group about what we discussed today and some of the issues and challenges, and if you guys can come up with a plan, we'd be happy to hear from you all if you could come all back and have another meeting with us virtually.
Sure. I do have one more thing. I don't think our goal should be to eradicate anybody else from entering the beaches, but minimize the amount of people that are coming to our beaches. Because I think, like you said, Kathy, it would be impossible with the other parking lots. People will always find a way to get on the beaches. But I think it will help if we can control the access to them.
Right. And legally, we can't. I mean, if somebody, like Jay always says, if somebody from, Afghanistan parks on Route 113, they can walk into our beaches. We have no control over that. So, we can only control the parking. And the same is true with Silver Lake, that the parking is owned by the district. And so we can control the parking.
Okay. Well, I'm going to just start a private little group and, find out I'll give feedback, find out who really has interest and who's really willing to do some volunteering with this. Maybe we could even get some of the guys to install the signage and things like that. So I'll see what I can come up with and come back to you guys.
Yeah, and maybe get on one of those websites. I looked quickly after last week's meeting. There's a whole bunch of signs out there that do the placards to hang on the rearview mirror. So maybe if somebody could say how much would it cost to get 500 of these printed, black and white versus color, numbered versus non-numbered, and you know, that way at least we have some costs to consider as well.
Well, my cousin does that, so maybe I can get him
Perfect.
To donate for free usage of my house.
There you go. Well, that would be.
That would be
we're always
bribe.
Looking for that. That's perfect. So, yeah. So that, I mean,
you can hear your house, even not the beach. No, I'm only.
All right. Well, thanks.
My point would be, you don't have to do everything. I mean, the point is to work with us to help us get this done. That's all.
Yeah.
You need some people to help.
No, but you know, it's just giving back to the community. I think is the way to pose it, right? So, and I would actually. Pay $10 to have two passes for my visitors to use the beaches. $10 is nothing to me, you know?
Yeah.
So, all right. So listen, thank you so much for all you guys do. I'm sure it's not easy managing the village. I'm a little bit nervous about what I'm about to get myself into, but we'll see how
this goes. Yeah. And I think, you know, if you're talking to people that have lived here for a while, they certainly will be able to, guide you and direct the team that you have as far as what's practical to implement.
Yep. Is that Kathy that's talking?
Yes, it is. Yeah. And even, and you know, somebody else can even call, you know, and again, just because we're limited with our administrative staff, call some of the other towns and ask them how they manage it. You know, what's the fee for parking there without a valid permit? Is it $25? Is it $100? So, you know, just kind of gather some local information and see how other districts do it so we're not reinventing the wheel.
All right. That sounds great.
Yeah. All right.
Kathy, if you want to email me with some of the names, then please feel free to of people to reach out to. I'd appreciate that.
Okay.
You want to send me a quick email.
Okay. I've got your email from your letter from last week, but thank you. So thank
you. Excellent. Great, guys. Thanks
all
so
right.
much.
Okay.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye. Okay. All right. We're going to move on to payroll, and I'll make a motion that we approve the payroll for $6,370.11.
I'll second that.
Okay. So, should I just read off the hours?
Yeah.
No,
we're not reading hours.
Okay. But so I have some questions, though. Did anybody look at the hours?
I did not.
Okay.
No, I will right
now. Right. So Kelly, you worked on Christmas?
Yep.
Yeah, he got double time for it. Yep.
Yeah, but it was 52 degrees and rain?
Yeah.
So what happened on Christmas? Somebody call or?
Did I rain on my car?
He had to, answer a drainage call.
Right. That was up for asking.
Okay.
There was a leak. Somebody, the service called.
Oh, that was the leak. The water leak.
Yeah.
On Altdorf? Or?
Yeah.
That was Saturday, I thought. This past Saturday.
The water leak was Saturday.
Right. Mike called, I think.
Yeah. The Christmas one, I thought, was when it was mucky, and I checked. And with the heavy rain,
because I know you went up on Aspen.
I went up on Aspen, and it was all mud.
Yeah.
There's a two-hour minimum.
Right, right.
So,
because
just to go check a road, because I have to.
Is that, I can't see.
It's double time. 8 hours holiday, and any holiday, you get double time.
Okay, that's 3, and then there's something else, 3-0? Is it 3-0 or... OT? Is that what it is?
That was on Thursday, yeah.
No, this is Friday. The Friday column. Right there?
Three.
It was 2 hours overtime on the week before.
Oh. All right. So there's two. He should have gotten... Yeah. Oh, wait a minute.
Because the columns aren't wide.
Oh, yeah. All right. I'm going to have to...
Just stretch out the column.
Yeah.
And then shrink this column in a little bit.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got the motion to approve that payroll for that amount of money, $6,370.11. Seconded by
Paula.
All in favor, say aye.
Yes.
Oh,
bye.
We lost them. No.
Did you lose them?
No.
Okay.
I'm confused. That was the question. Is something not lining up?
The number, the columns aren't wide enough, so I'm just seeing, half of the.
All right. I'll fix it. Okay. It's just because of the size of paper, so that you can see it.
You can shrink the font, too.
No.
Okay. All right. We don't have any signature items?
No.
Commissioners reports, Jones and Beach service, this is me. Those are the things that they said that they did.
Yeah, that's the response from...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the one from Jake. This one is going to be very interesting. This was the number 14 Burston stock, where when we had Jake and Ian physically at the library, Jake had mentioned that he found a water line coming in the area of 14 Burston stock, but there's no house there, so he cut the line and capped it. And, of course, we now realize that property has a paid-for water service, which has been paid for every year. There's no house there, but you can do that. You can actually install a water line without having to build your house. And now he's saying that he did connect the water line, the service line, to the water main. And
not the new water main.
The service line is, in fact, still connected. The line is not very deep. There is a new valve from the new main. Yeah, from the new main on the property.
Right, but his service line is not connected to that.
On the property. So it is served and will continue to be served after the new station is online. So it is served and will continue after the new water main is online. So he's saying that it's connected to the new water main.
I didn't read that into it. I thought it was served as it was on the existing, and that it will be when they connect all the new curb stop valves.
Yeah, so he's saying he put a new valve in. There's a new curb stop valve
which
there.
And everybody, all 19 of those homes have new valves, right?
Right.
Right, so he put a new valve there. I guess my question is, there's no house there, right?
Right.
So if in the spring, they go and connect all those service lines to the new curb stop valves, then problem solved.
Connect the new line to those curb stop valves. Well, the curb stop valves are already connected to all 19 houses to the new water main. And it's really the connection of the service line to the curb stop valve.
Correct.
That's the last piece that has to be done in the spring. But on this particular house, there is no service line to the house because there's no house. And I guess the question would be, is this water service link charged and, in fact, connected to the high-pressure water main that was installed this summer? There's no way to find out except to actually dig up the pavement, and that's what I don't want to do. And unfortunately, I think when we ever find out if the property owner decides to build a home and we go to turn that water on and we get nothing but dry air, we'll realize it was never connected. And so we'll end up owing the reconnection of that service line.
But there's a new service line from the new main to the new curb stop valve.
Yes.
And if he builds a house, they'll be connecting the house to the new curb stop valve.
Correct.
Okay. And what are the odds that he's going to build a house between now and April?
I don't know. I'll just say 50-50, not knowing. But here's the thing. What he said to us physically when he was in the room was that he discovered a water service line and he just cut and capped it. You can go back to the video and look at it.
Okay. I don't recall that, but if you reviewed it, then yes.
And the reason I say that is because when we asked him to do, in the contract, to do 19 service line connections, there was a price for each one, this would make number 20. But we only had him do 19. So it would make sense that he didn't do this. unless we got an extra bill, and he would have actually then asked for an engineering change order because it was now an additional service line that was never identified to him. That's what I'm saying, is that we need to just keep this on record with this property so that when the house goes to get built, we will have the history. This email will be the history.
No, I agree. But there's nothing we can do at this point.
No, there isn't.
And you're right.
Yeah,
we need to keep it on the radar for the spring to make sure that there is, in fact, a new curb stop valve there, which he says that there is.
Yeah. I haven't seen it, but okay. But, Donna, could you just, in that property 14 Bristol Stock, the folder, just put this email?
Mm-hmm.
And that will serve as a record of some history as to what may or may not have happened.
Okay.
All right? Okay. And then I sent out an email to Ian asking him if he had any concerns of water projects for 2021, and he said basically no, he wasn't thinking about that. Then I also sent out a draft of the Class 6 road agreement, which is part of the water system ordinance, that if you pay to have the water line extended in a Class 6 road, there needs to be a Class 6 road agreement that is signed and recorded at the Registry of Deeds.
Right.
So I know we didn't have one.
We have...
she attached it, I thought. She attached that Word document.
Yeah, but we have one that we do. Yeah, I had to do with...
Why didn't I see that?
So you sent that first email, then I think the email came from the office with the Word. And it doesn't look like an official agreement, but it does say, here's what you've got to do to bring the road up to spec, and you're responsible for maintaining it. If other people build on the road, then you will share the cost of maintaining that road.
Yeah,
that was the agreement.
Oh,
that's what I have to send into the registry.
Okay, so there is something. Further said. Okay.
I thought that was just for the district that they had to sign. I didn't know that was going.
Yeah, this has to go to be recorded with the property.
Yeah, I know that does, but I thought your form was just a. Something for the homeowner assigned for the district.
Yep, okay.
Okay, all right.
All right, good.
Yeah.
And forget my draft.
Okay.
All right. Then there was the annual meeting. Again, we'll talk about that on Thursday. Lynn Baker is basically going to care for her husband. She's been given that time, and she sent an email in correspondence with that. The CRF funds, capital reserve funds?
That was just there. You had sent an email for how much was in it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So in each one, was that the one?
Yep.
Right, I saw that. Yep.
Okay.
Perfect. And then the last one is warrant articles, and I sent out one last night.
I didn't see it this morning.
There was that emergency.
I didn't see it this morning.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
The emergency action plan for the dam?
No.
Oh.
No,
we didn't
get it.
Anything from you last night.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you remember, this year, 2021, we have to put together an emergency action plan for the dam. This is something that none of the people at this table can do. This is to be engineered, and so I threw in a figure of $5,000. I'm trying to find out what it actually costs to have one of these plans put together. But this is the year that they want them updated. And then the other one, I think we talked about it, I didn't put anything in writing, was the Reinhardt Place reclassification from 6 to 5.
Yeah.
And what I have to do is physically go up there and get a measurement from where it legally ends today, which is the southerly corner of the driveway at number 5 Reinhardt. And I'm just going to throw this number out there. And then go 50 feet beyond the southerly corner of the pump station. So that gives
You wouldn't go beyond 9 Reinhardt.
Well, that actually, if I go 50 feet beyond the pump station, I'm actually passing by property of 9 Reinhardt. So they're technically they're on a Class 5 road.
Okay. So they will be on a Class 5 road. Okay.
Right. But the reason I'm pushing 50 feet beyond the pump station is to give Kelly, and I'll ask Kelly if that's enough room to push your snow and whatever else you want to push out of the way. 50 feet?
Yep.
Okay. So, yeah, and that will capture the corner of the property at number 9 Reinhardt, so they would then technically become a resident of a Class 5 road because their driveway will start at that point as well.
Okay. All right.
So I put these on that proposed. I put them in red. I thought I sent it out last night. I'm sorry. Okay. I'll send it out then.
Okay.
And perfect timing. I'm sorry. I'm going to jump to Kathy and Paula. Again, I got a hard 11 o'clock stop,
yeah.
So I'll let you guys run.
What do you have on the agenda for me?
I just have the gas side estimate, Kathy.
Okay. We can't encumber the funds for him to do the insulation up at Summit because it's past the 2 years. So, and that was a loan was paying for that. So we kind of missed the opportunity to include any work that he might do at Summit for that loan. So we'll if we're going to do it, we'll do it through the operating budget next year or through the water budget.
Okay.
And anything else, Donna? Sorry.
NHMA volunteers, annual meetings on the website.
Yep. I reached out to them, to NHMA, and I also found, and I sent it out just before the meeting and noted that we could discuss it at a future date. It was a great pro bono agreement and with a great explanation.
Yep.
So we may be able to just modify that, plug in the names and the scope of work. And it did say, you know, any work that you hire people to do, you would have an agreement. So why would you not do it for people you were engaging, even though you weren't paying them? You should still have something in writing. So I think that the document I sent was perfect for that. It seemed to hit all the bases.
Yeah. I saw something very similar. Maybe we hit the same document. I don't know.
Okay,
great.
One
last thing. You had, the email blast, Andrew, Hartevelt virtual meeting. We talked about that.
Yep.
And the budget warrant meeting status. So we'll talk about that more on Thursday.
Yep. Okay.
Paula, you're up.
Cool. Yeah, I did reach out finally yesterday. I sent a note to Ian about the emergency plan for the water, so obviously I haven't given him much time yet. Hopefully I'll have something on Thursday back from him in terms of, you know, whether, assuming he's going to be able to take a look at that and the response from him. And then, Kathy, I sent out an email with some suggestions for what to put on the newsletter. I don't know where you are on the newsletter. I really want to encourage people to run for office, and I wasn't exactly sure what the qualifications were. Do you have to be a registered voter? I don't know what the qualifications are.
No, I think you have to be a primary resident. You have to be a primary resident of Idlewise. Whether you're registered or not, I don't think you have to be registered.
Okay.
And you don't even have
Can
to
you change
and
that?
You don't even have to be a and you don't have to
you
be
have
a property
to be
owner.
Yeah.
You want
to change
be a,
that or
you have to be a registered voter in order to run for office?
Yeah. Being a registered voter, if you declared Idlewise your primary residency and you had voting rights in another town, you don't want
you
to run for office.
You can't do that. Yeah.
Okay.
You can't do that.
So primary residency.
Any BDOE tax-paying registered voter. Is that right?
Yeah. No, because you could live. Because for instance, if I rented from someone and lived here full time, I had my kids going to school here, and I'm a registered voter, but I'm paying rent, so I don't have to be a property taxpayer.
Oh, okay. Right. So it's any primary resident paying registered voter.
Yes.
You can change that,
primary,
Kathy. I mean, this is just
primary
a draft.
Resident.
Do you want
primary
to
resident.
Do that?
Anybody that's registered, it has to be a registered voter.
Right.
Okay,
yeah,
and then we decide.
Registering the vote. Registering the vote declares that this is your primary residence.
Okay, so, all right.
Right.
So registered voter in the town of Madison. Okay. And your primary residence within Idlewise.
Yeah.
Okay.
So do you want to make those changes, Kathy? I just got, if there's anything else you need. And the same thing with how much the treasurer pays. I didn't put any of that in there. I didn't know it. But you can revise this. I just wanted to give you this draft, if you guys are okay with it. I was just trying to encourage people to run for office. And I think it was interesting to talk to Kim earlier. Like, there are just people who I think are not aware of how things run here. And I think we need to just make sure we're continually educating people.
Sure.
That's all.
Okay. Now, Jay, so I sent an email in, just a kind of a draft of what we want to put on the website regarding the annual meeting and the public hearing.
Yeah.
And I sent it to you for comments, meaning just to clarify the dates, the times, make sure that it was worded correctly. Is there anything you wanted to change with that?
Yeah. So I guess really the definition of what we're going to put in that description will actually probably come out of Thursday's meeting. Because if we decide, or the moderator decides that he feels that the school gymnasium at a maximum capacity of 46 is unsafe, and he can declare that, then we will go virtual. And I think if you read, that's why I wanted everybody to read that document I sent to everybody yesterday. That changes everything. So that will change, obviously, what we put on the website.
So let me ask you this, Jay. So if our annual meeting is virtual, then our public hearing has to be virtual. Our public hearing has to follow that recommendation of having two separate meetings and you know, the specifics about the public hearing. So
that's
that they kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, okay. That's the way I'm reading it. You're correct.
So we can't do a public hearing. Okay, go ahead,
Paula.
So we can't do the...
I was just saying, why don't we all read everything and then reconvene on this whole topic on Thursday?
Okay.
We don't have to post this on the website today. I think
then
we can agree on all. Just have Thursday be all about all these meetings and everything, and posting to the website. Okay.
All right. So we won't put anything. Basically, nothing will go out until next week.
Newsletter too, Kathy, if you have one. I'd put this all in the newsletter, like everything. We'll just put all this stuff in there
together and do it in the first week in January once we've kind of ironed through all the details.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Perfect.
Make sure the moderator, Bob Ingram, is in the loop for the annual meeting.
He is.
Oh, he is. Already. Yep.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
He's just as confused as we are. All right.
He should really be running. But anyway, I hope it all works out good.
Yeah.
So Jay, if you've got you've got 10 minutes, Jay, if we want to go into non-public.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. I just have two quick things that I promised homeowners correspondents. I have one from a realtor. Are we able to build a garage with a slab on this property? And do you have to hook up to the water lines if there's no septic tank or leach field?
Wow. Is this down on Clausen?
No, this is 5 Grimsel. That's a realtor looking, and I also had a person call in yesterday for Oak Ridge that he was going to put in, he wants to build a mini camp, but he was going to use a composite
composting.
Septic.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what the rules were, and I just want clarification.
On board.
He's sending them over to here.
He shouldn't be doing that.
Well, that's...
We don't do septic systems here. We can't even discuss it. It's all... Bob makes sure that the state approves it, and then he says yes. And if it's a slab or a garage going on a property, that has nothing to do with Idlewise. So the only thing we do is driveways. He has to answer all the other questions. He knows
Okay.
that.
Now, I was told before that they could have, like, you when that building, they can put it on a slab.
Yep. Yeah.
And that they could have a composite.
Yep. Composting.
Me, toilet.
Yeah.
So they didn't have to hook up to the water system.
No, they didn't. There's a house up on Upper Lakeview.
So that's the question I just asked.
Yeah. But the answer should come from Bob Boyd and not us. Because we don't have the authority as a municipality to discuss zoning. We can always say you can go look at the town zoning on the town's website, and if you have any further questions, contact Bob Boyd. He's in charge of...
Okay, that's what I normally do, but they've been telling me that they're being referred by Bob Boyd to make sure that Idlewise doesn't have any other provisions.
No, we don't. It's just driveways.
Okay. And then I had Nick Small wants to know how to get his road up to class 6. I mean, from a class 6 to a class 5.
Yep.
Does he have to petition
the voters?
The voters at the annual meeting?
Yep,
is that what I tell him?
A petitioned warrant article.
Okay. A petitioned warrant article.
And a reference to one would be that which was done 3 years ago. I think it's 3 years ago. 3 or 4 years ago for Bergdorf and Granville.
There was one done last year, too, but didn't
pass.
Yeah,
there was one last year.
Done last year.
Yeah,
that one, that was the extension of Granville, and that one failed, because I don't even think anybody showed up to speak to it.
Just the
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, that's it for that I have. That's it.
Okay.
Let's do non-public. We're running out of time.
Yeah. Okay. Yep, thank you. So I'll make a motion that we go into non-public at this time. And
I'll second that.
Yeah, I'll ask. Okay. We'll have a roll call, and I say aye or yay.
Well, we're going into non-public for what? RSA what?
I'm sorry. Let me get the cheat sheet here. It's going to be employment 93A, colon 3, section 2B, hiring non-elected officials.
What do I have to do? Does someone have to second it or not?
Yay.
I need a second.
Second and yay for me.
Okay. Two yays.
Okay.
So we're going to turn off the recording of this.
Okay. And.